Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
I'm Alan Paul, and I'm the director of Next to Normal.
Yeah, and we're talking because Next to Normal is coming to Roundhouse Theater in Bethesda, Maryland. It started January 24th and now it runs through February 25th, so a little less than a month left to get tickets. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here.
All right. Now, this thing, I guess it started in like 2008, I believe, on Broadway. It was nominated for a ton. I think it lost to Billy Elliot the top prize, but it's still, it's become a phenomenon. Remind us really quick, didn't it have some sort of local roots before Broadway? Wasn't it? Didn't they put it up at Arena as like an early run?
Yeah, so it happened off Broadway, and then they brought it to Arena to make some edits to it, and it became so good that they brought it from Arena to Broadway, and it won the Pulitzer Prize on Broadway.
It just speaks to DC as one of the great theater towns in America, right?
Absolutely. I think it is be behind New York, the greatest theater town in the United States.
That's awesome. All right. Well, without further ado, in case some of our listeners maybe missed that first run, because it was 2008-ish. So yeah, it's been, gosh, almost, what is that? What's my math? 15, 16 years or something like that. So yeah, remind them the basic premise, the storyline, if you the log line, if you will.
Yeah, so I don't want to give away any spoiler alerts, so I've got to keep pretty vague. But Next to Normal is about a kind of archetypal American family. The matriarch, Diana, is suffering from bipolar disorder. She has a husband, and she has a teenage daughter and a son. And it's about what happens to that particular family. And there are a lot of surprises along the way that are, very, very emotional.
Absolutely. And we won't spoil those surprises at all. But why don't you dish on the cast? Who's playing the matriarch that you mentioned, and then some of the other, lead parts?
Well, listen, one of the great things about DC are these amazing actors who've been here. And Tracy Lynn Olivera is playing Diana, and she's been in town for 25 years. And I have to say, she is giving the most remarkable performance I've ever seen her give. And I've seen her on basically every stage in the city. She's hilarious, and she sings the HELL out of this score. And it's thrilling. And so is Kevin McAllister, who plays her husband, Dan, who has equally been everywhere in Washington, D.C. I've never seen him quite tackle a role as dramatic as this. And he sings like an angel. And the great thing about this cast of six is that five of the actors live in Washington. So in my opinion, it's a big celebration of local actors and of the talent that lives and breathes and works in D.C.
Absolutely. And you are one of those talents. I think we've spoken with you at gosh, I guess you did maybe Our Town at Shakespeare Theater. I think we spoke with you for Spring Awakening, I believe, at which was also at Roundhouse. So is this your first time back at Roundhouse since Spring Awakening, or is there something else in between that I'm forgetting?
Well, number one, it's my first time back at Roundhouse since Spring Awakening, which was the final show before the pandemic.
Oh, there you
Little
go.
did we know. But a year and a half ago, I got a job running the Barrington Stage Company, which is a big summer theater in the Berkshires. And so I left Washington a little over a year ago in my tenure at the Shakespeare Theater Company. And this is my first show back in DC as a non-resident. So it has been so incredible to be back in this town that I love and with artists who I have a long relationship with. And I'm so proud of that and proud to be back.
Well, welcome back. Well, you did a great job describing the story and and dishing on the doting on your cast, but we have to mention, of course, this is a musical, and as they call a rock musical, if you will. So talk about the music by Tom Kitt and the lyrics by Brian Yorkey. Remind us what some of the maybe the more famous show tunes, some of the songs that I don't want to say show tunes because it's like rock musical, you know what I mean? But yeah, like what are some of the standouts?
Well, it is a rock musical, and the music in that theater sounds amazing. It's a six-person band. I my personal opinion is that it's one of the greatest scores of the last 25 years because there's something for everyone in it. Sometimes it feels like a rock musical. There's some country feeling in there. There's a beautiful ethereal waltz. There's rage, there's passion, And I think the music is really gorgeous and really uplifting in many places. Songs you might know, one of the famous ones for musical theater lovers is called I Miss the Mountains. And then, of course, one of the great ones they sing on the Tony Awards is You Don't Know. And there's a great song the Sun sings called I'm Alive. And there's just something for everyone in the score.
Absolutely. Yeah, it runs the gamut. Just the ones you mentioned, that covers the whole spectrum of emotions. All right. Well, what do we see visually? I mean, that was, you mentioned the music, but visually at Roundhouse, it's such a great theater space there in Bethesda. They always do great. You always do great shows. But yeah, like visually, what are we seeing like in terms of the set, the costumes, that kind of stuff?
Well, what's amazing about the show and different is that we're doing it with a lot of live video in the show. So in the theater, there are seven cameras that capture the action all around the stage, above the stage, from the audience, from different perspectives. There's even a camera backstage. So you're getting this show, which is about the internal journey of this woman, Diana, and you're seeing a visual representation of the metaphor of that journey through all these cameras and live video. And I was really proud. The Washington Post reviewed the show, and the byline or the title of the review is, "This Next to Normal revival is like a David Lynchian fever dream." And I thought, how did David Lynch came into this? I mean, how great is that? And I think there's something surreal and metaphoric and exciting about the way we're telling the story that, you know, if you don't know the show, I think it really helps you find a way into it. And if you've seen the show before, this version of it is completely different than what you saw before. So I think there's something exciting about it. I mean,
Next to Normal meets Eraserhead.
I was thinking I have to go back and look at David Lynch to see where I was unconsciously inspired, because I didn't do any real David Lynch research, but what a great director he is.
Oh my gosh. I mean, as a movie guy, I could go all day on, you know, Eraserhead and Blue Velvet, obviously masterpiece, and Mulholland Drive and all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I'm sure it just seeped into your subconscious maybe, but I'm curious, just to piggyback off of that, how does that, like what sort are we dealing, like strobe lights and haze and flashing lights, and like what kind of like theatrical elements are used to be Lynchian? Like, I'm curious.
Nothing like that, but like when you walk in the theater, we film Tracy, who plays Diana, her eye in an extreme close-up, and as the music starts, it gets closer and closer up on her pupil, and there's a hypnosis section that we filmed with her closing her eyes and her opening her eyes. There are these really cool sections where two characters stand in different sides of the stage looking off into cameras, and then their conversation is projected on the back wall as if they're having a conversation facing each other. Things happen in a very secret special room backstage that the audience never sees, but that the audience does on the screen. Okay. And so it's a kind of really wild multimedia version of this show that really is meant to capture the internal state of all these characters, and in black and white, a lot of it is in, and a lot of it in really extreme color. So it's hard to describe because it's a little different than what I've certainly done before and certainly what I've seen before.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I mean, I was literally just reading off the website where it said, "Be advised, the flashing lights and strobe effects and hey." I had no idea there was like a whole camera set up backstage that's sort of what, like showing the footage on screen while the other performers are on stage in front of the screen too. Like, that sounds cool.
It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild.
That's awesome. All right. Well, then if that doesn't sell it, folks, I don't know what will. It'd come out to see Next to Normal. Anything else you want to add? I mean, I have more than enough to work with. You mentioned some of the heavy mental health themes and stuff that it deals with, you know, and bipolar disorder and grief and anxiety and all that kind of stuff. But like, if there's folks, speak to our listeners, maybe if there's folks that are either going through that themselves or have a family or friend that are going through that, how, I don't want to say trigger warning, but how they should, this actually could be cathartic for them.
Well, that's the thing. I think that the musical deals with intense themes, but they're themes that everyone has gone through in life, of losing a family member, or dealing with grief, or dealing with some form of mental illness. And I think it's misleading to talk about the show in that respect, because it's a hugely joyful show that is really, really uplifting. And if tears are shed at all, they're communal tears of, shared experience. And the audience leaves really happy and really having gone through a total experience of theater. And every time I've seen the show, and I've seen it a lot on Broadway, I saw a production of it in London this fall. I mean, the audience just leaves uplifted and excited about life. And so I think it's a piece to come and feel all of the emotions and leave on the other side of that. And it is pure catharsis. And that's, I believe, the reason to come.
Awesome. Yes, I'll make sure to play up the joyous elements of the show in the radio pieces for sure. So people, yeah, I always, whenever a show deals with heavy topics, I don't want to scare people, listeners off. So I'll make sure to play, I'll play up the joyful elements as well.
That's great.
But it does, but it mines the depths of emotions in the human experience. So to me, that's what it's all about. Great. Well, final seconds, pretend I'm not even here and speak directly to our listeners. If they're driving in their car, listening to WTOP, just say, hey, come on out the next to Normal at Roundhouse. It's going to, you'll have a good time, or, whatever you want to say, but speak directly to them.
Yeah. You don't want to miss Next to Normal at Roundhouse Theater, and tickets are selling fast. So please come to the show. You will be uplifted and have a catharsis.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for doing this, Alan.
Oh, God. Listen, it's good to talk to you every 3 years and plug a show.
Well, we can do it more often, now I guess you're not in town anymore, but whenever you come back around, we'll speak to you.
Okay, good. It's great to hear from you.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.